Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
The great actor Richard Kind joins us and tells us some very interesting stories. And then we have the news as well. First, I'll tell you about LifeLock. 60% of Americans believe it's likely that identity theft will cause them a financial loss in the next year. It's important to understand how cybercrime and identity theft are affecting our lives every day. We put our info at risk on the internet. In an instant, cyber criminals could harm your finances and your credit. Good thing there's LifeLock. LifeLock detects a wide range of identity threats like your social security number for sale on the dark web. If they detect your information has potentially been compromised, they'll send you an alert and you'll have access to a dedicated restoration specialist. It is LifeLock. Right, Dawson?
No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses, but you can keep what's yours, yours with LifeLock Identity Theft Protection. Join now and save up to 25% off your first year at LifeLock.com, promo code Adam. That's LifeLock.com, promo code Adam for 25% off. And now, a tip from the 1965 issue of Good Housekeeping. 120 ways to please a man.
A good wife is part of her community. She's interested in town planning, local government, school conditions, and church activities. In her community, she is a goodwill ambassador for her husband.
Just one of 120 ways to please a man. Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Oh, a bygone era. Richard Kind has joined us, TV show. Everything's going to be okay. It's Thursdays, 10 p.m. Eastern, on Freeform. Episodes available the next day on Hulu, and season one also available on Hulu. Good to see you, Richard Kind.
Thank you very much. And that's the best you got from 1950 about women?
Well, we were, what spawned that was Good Housekeeping, yep. The magazine, had an article on a movie that I made called Uppity, and it was best, you know, woke, you know, whatever. It was about an African-American race car driver, blah, blah, blah. But they had the sort of best documentaries for the woke culture. And I thought, what did they talk about in 1965? Because I think they had different subject matters. And lo and behold, we found it.
And interested in civics. And now you have all these women today running for office, senators, certainly Congress people.
Yeah, and we feel just awful about it.
Yeah.
Exactly. What the hell? Good housekeeping, huh? Yeah, 50 years later.
We're all big fans. From
very nice of you. Thanks.
Many, many different projects, as I feel like you've been working.
Go ahead, name them.
Well, obviously, most recently, Curb Your Enthusiasm, for sure.
Always, always Curb. And it's not most recently. That's like, what do you call it? That's been out, I think, for 20 years.
Yeah.
20 years? 10 years, something like that. It's crazy how long it's been on.
I'm always curious. Yeah.
Well, I was going to say, for the first 9 years, I was only on 4 episodes. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you're now, you know, have a more regular reoccurring role.
I don't. It was just last year, unfortunately, because of Bob's passing.
Yeah, Super
Bob
Dave.
Dave. Mm-hmm. I was called on a little more. It's sad, but that was the reason why. So I did 3 last year. But before that, it was just, I was only on 4 episodes.
But what a testament to you that it doesn't feel like 4 episodes.
There you go. Yes, I agree. Everybody thought I was the regular.
Right.
Right.
I agree.
And your wife
Your
wife probably thought you were nuts the day you came home and you said, "I'm going to poison Super Dave." And she was like, "What?"
Yes,
hear me out.
I said, the baseball bat to the knee has already been used.
Yes.
I'm going to poison.
I was at his funeral. Did you attend?
I did not. And I loved the guy. I loved him. And he was one of those guys who thought you were his best friend. That's how great a guy he was. And he was. I was not, because I live in New York, and I would have flown in. But would it have been a testament? It would have been because I wanted to be there because of everybody who was there in the story. So, and I thought that was a little hypocritical because I would have liked to have been there for him, but he doesn't know.
No,
so I didn't.
No,
it was... I didn't go. But I, but for selfish reasons, I wanted to be there. But I continue to tell stories about him because I loved him so much.
Well, another thing I figure we're, you know, we're just a few years away that if somebody ever, 3 years from now, if someone said, did you go to Super Day's funeral? You go, you know, COVID, man. Mm-hmm. And they'll just nod their head and we can keep walking because I'm going to take this COVID year and I'm going to spread it out over about 9 years. So anything I didn't do. Yeah.
So many excuses we have in our life. I used to use, I can't do it. I have rehearsal for acting class. That was what I used in my youth. You know, I can't do it. I got class or whatever. Now you're right. We could use COVID.
We were,
kids were good. Kids were good for a good 8-9 years.
Oh yeah.
That was good.
Oh yeah.
Kids are great.
Catch you at
great.
Anything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The, right. And by the way, yeah, I wonder how many people play the kid card or even actually into the kids. I can't be much, right?
We play the kid card on weekends. We don't have them.
Yeah.
Right.
The kid card is great.
But do you have kids?
Yeah.
Who has kids?
I have a step kid. Yeah.
Everyone has kids. Are they young still?
Yeah.
We have two young ones.
I got 14-year-old twins.
I used to have 14-year-old twins and now 16-year-old twins.
Oh, really?
Boy and girl.
Oh, yep. I got boy.
And a 19-year-old.
I got boy and girl twins, too.
Really? Yeah. And are they alike or are they very, very different?
That's not alive.
How much time do you have?
One of them, I will tell you how different they are. One of them's hero is Ben Shapiro and Donald Trump. And the other one is at a Black Lives Rally matter, you know, Black Lives Matter rally right now. Like that's how they are.
One of them loves daddy and the other one thinks that daddy is Grand Dragon of the KKK. Yeah,
That's exactly how it works.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say one of them is a fearless daredevil with no concern for health or life. And one of them is very afraid and it's not the one you think.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Isn't it crazy? Same genetics, same upbringing, everything. So different. It's so different. It's crazy.
It's there from Jump Street. You know, when they were little kids, that's who they were.
I agree.
This notion of like, well, did one of them play too many video games or listen to too much hard rock?
Yes.
Like, not when there were two.
it's unbelievable. They were born the way they were born. Yeah. It's how they were cut out that way. I agree with you. It's astounding. Although they have exponentially grown more towards who they are.
How do your kids do with, how do your twins do with one another?
I have three kids and it is like summer camp every day. They rely on each other. They love each other. They know the buttons to push. And there are some times where I will downright complain about, I can't believe so-and-so is doing it or all like that. They will defend their brother or sister in ways that I'm so proud. I mean, they rely on each other. They defend them. They're wonderful to each other.
Wow.
What's that like? A lot of it is all a tribute to their mother, not to me. I'm a good dad, very good dad, loving dad. Their mother is astounding.
So I was reading the bio here and surprised to know just how close you were with George Clooney or are with George Clooney, including him being a best man at your wedding, speaking of your wife in 1999. How did that whole thing come about?
I'll talk about it, but not in depth, but I will talk. I mean, I'll tell you, because I always say he gets enough publicity on his own and I'm always scared that I'm going to say just anything wrong. And then, you know, if you say something wrong about somebody, blah, 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 blah. If you say something wrong about George, well, everybody's going to glom onto it.
That's fair.
It's very superficial. Believe it or not, we played brothers in a pilot ages and ages ago, and he was called in to replace somebody. And so we had a bond by having a shortened amount of time to rehearse. So we would see each other at night and we would dined, and we were simpatico. We got a little, our politics are the same. Our love of movies is the same. The ethics of our parents were the same and have been passed down to both of us. And we got along, you know, we were young, liked women and, liked going out for a drink. It was great. So, yeah, so we really became, and he's got a lot of friends. I shouldn't say a lot. We have a group of friends that are similar in our politics and in what we like and what we like to do, things like that. And we are lucky that we have remained friends. And I will, this is one thing I will tell you. He's a great guy. Great guy. Gave us all $1 million. You know all about that. Everybody knows it. But I will say this. He is as lucky to have us as friends, all of these guys, as we are lucky to have him. And we are all as lucky to have each other because we keep each other in line, sort of like a fraternity. And we are able to make jokes that you can't make jokes anymore, like you do in a locker room amongst each other. You're allowed to call people on their shit with, you know, when they get out of line. So it's nice. It's a guy. And you being the guy that you are, and I don't know about you other two, but Adam, my guess is you have a real guy sensibility.
Yes.
And mm-hmm. and a sort of like, I call it the deliverance ethos. You know, let's go, let's get together and go out. Not the banjo, the guys going out and saying, let's go see The Wilderness.
It's a great movie.
The four guys going out and seeing the movie, seeing the wilderness and what they're, ethics were like and what they wanted to do at the bond. That's what we're sort of like. And I have a feeling, Adam, you like that too.
I love, it's kind of interesting. My parents were kind of standoffish. They were I was kind of latchkey and I didn't have a strong involvement with my family. So I relied immediately on friends. I was always hanging out, sleeping over, eating dinner. Everything I did, you know, I went water skiing once, that was with someone else's family. I went snow skiing once, that was with someone else's family. I went dirt bike riding once, that was with someone else's family. Like whenever I would do something, I'd do it with someone else's family. So I kind of learned early that friends were super important. And I always feel sorry for people. Sometimes you'll talk to a woman and she'll go, I don't really have friends, you know, or she'll go, I have a couple of guy friends, but I don't really like women. What kind of life is this?
Right. Yeah. I don't trust anybody who doesn't have anybody close, like three people close that they've known for 20, 25 years. I don't trust them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree.
By the way, I'm also talking to two people there who I don't know. I know you, Adam. Is that Serena?
I'm Gina, and it's so funny because we know you so well. That's Brian. I'm Gina. We're thrilled to have you.
How would I know you guys?
You wouldn't.
There's no reason.
I wouldn't.
I should have introduced you.
To you. This is horrible.
Well, now that we're meeting, Richard, I'm a big fan of yours from a long time. And one of the joys, speaking of kids, I have a four-year-old daughter. One of the joys of having a four-year-old daughter is introducing her to the movies that I love and loved as a kid and even loved as an adult. Like I loved Moana before she was ever born. Now she loves Moana and she loves Inside Out. It's so helpful for like teaching her about emotions and teaching. Oh, and we're teaching her like, oh, are you feeling anger right now? Are you feeling sadness? You know, it's very helpful. And you obviously were a huge part of that movie, even though you actually weren't in it that long. And I know that when you guys record your voiceover, oftentimes it's before the animation or it's before whatever. When did you see the final movie? When did you see the final movie? And that's such an emotional part of the movie. What was your reaction to it?
There is an evolution in answering to your question.
Please.
The thing is that you don't at first get the whole script.
It's a good point.
Just get your scenes. And they say this takes place in a girl's brain and that you have orbs and things like that. What? What are you talking about? You can't comprehend it. You just don't comprehend what their story is. You take them at their word. Am I allowed to curse on the show?
Go ahead.
I didn't know what the fuck they were talking about. It was the most confounding thing to say, well, you're her imaginary friend and it's in her brain. It makes sense now that we've seen it. So I did about 3, 4, 5 recording sessions, which they tape and they sort of use the essence of my mouth or my face in order to animate and how I would do it. When I really got a sense of it, and there's a couple of stories here, was when I took the family on a trip from Los Angeles up to Monterey. And going up there, we stopped in at the Pixar campus.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I go in, but, you know, we get the tour and everything. Pete shows me with the editor and the other writer some of the scenes that I did. And I now get the sense at the beginning of how it's explained, what Ellie's life is and what the orbs are. And the first 3 minutes sets out what this world is that they're going to be showing you. That's when it clicked. My family saw that too. So we finish. It's great. Oh my gosh, look at the scenes we did, everything like that. Then we're walking down the hall. And this is a spoiler for those of you who haven't seen Inside Out, but it's your own fault. We're walking down the hall and somebody says, do you want to see the rough cut of when you're in the pit, when you send her off? You know, I know. The one.
The lost memory.
Yeah.
Devastated. Yeah, I saw years before my daughter was born, and I was devastated as a
adult. Tread lightly.
When I was a kid, and Adam, I don't know whether you'll remember this, but were you old enough to see Brian's song when it came on TV?
I remember very distinctly where I was. I was sitting next to my dad in our shack in North Hollywood, and they ran it on TV. I didn't see it in the theater. I saw it on TV. It was a weird thing.
It was never in the theater.
It was a film. Never. It was a TV movie. And when the music swelled up at the end, I started to bawl, but I was embarrassed because I didn't want to cry in front of my dad. Not that he gave a shit, but I just felt weird being nine and like just bawling as a young boy, you know, trying to think I was a man.
Right. Well, I was in high school and everybody came to school. It was on Tuesday night at the movie. It was a movie of the week on ABC. Everybody came to school and this is literally what everybody said. Dude, I cried. Oh, my God. I cried last night. Oh, my God. Everybody said that. Football players, everybody said it. They were like you. I now get people coming up to me saying, I saw Inside Out. Dude, I cried. Yeah. I cried. Yeah. Oh, man. Which you said, Brian, you cried. Even
100%
true. You had a daughter.
Yep.
So I had not seen it. Okay. I've got two stories concerning this. So.
Please.
So somebody calls us in, says, we're going to show you the scene with the orbs. And I see it, and it's a rough cut. Well, yes, I'm crying. But I look over at my oldest daughter, who's sobbing, and she just turns to her mother and runs into her arms.
Oh.
Wow.
Sobbing. Okay, at that moment. So I saw it before anybody did. And I often wondered, was she crying at Bing Bong dying? Or did her dad die?
Oh,
that's
God.
What I was wondering. I think it was Bing Bong. When I recorded that scene, okay, this is something about acting.
Please.
You will never be perfect with acting. Like Daniel Day-Lewis was fantastic as Abraham Lincoln. But when the shooting stops, he's Daniel Day-Lewis, and he was never Lincoln. He comes close to what Lincoln might have been like, but he's Daniel Day-Lewis. He simply is not Abraham Lincoln. As good as he is not Abraham Lincoln, but you get close.
Okay.
And if you're really good, you get close enough to just feel it. Well, I felt the emotion when I was saying, to the moon, you know, take her to the moon. It was the most pure emotion. I loved it. And I kept asking for a retake. None of the takes were any different than what came before it. It was because there was a purity to my feeling that I enjoyed. I was in the moment and I loved it. And I kept asking for another, and they're going, we got it. Go, no, just give me one more. And I realized I wasn't doing it for the movie. It's because I loved that scene so much. And I was crying. And I wasn't crying. In fact, I made it a point not to cry because... The audience
you're
has
strong.
To cry.
Yeah.
I had to be pure and give of myself and sacrifice. You don't get that chance every day. You don't get to sacrifice yourself. So So it was the most wonderful feeling. And I kept asking to do it again and again. Finally, we stopped. So I knew that scene before it was ever finished, and I knew how strong it was.
That's a great character insight.
Very long answer?
It's a great character insight, because Bing Mong isn't sad he's sacrificing himself. He's happy.
Because he loves her.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Oh, my God, yes. I can give... I sacrificed for you. Gee, I died for your sins.
It reminded me of the first time I saw it, and I have a lot of problems with this book because I think it's torture porn, but it reminded me a lot of The Giving Tree. You know, there was nothing left to give, so I can give the rest of me and she can go on.
Yes. Hey. Yes. Well, that's probably what it is. I've never thought of that, but yes, you're right. That's exactly what it is. And we now know that Pixar plagiarized Chelsea.
Brian, good question.
So,
back to me. So did Clooney have the pig when you met him?
Wait, I'm sorry. Introduce yourself. Who are you?
that was a wonderful story. And yes, I have toured the Pixar campus, and it is a wonderful, wonderful place. You can't imagine working there. Did you go to all the different writers' rooms and see how they had the themes picked out and everything?
I was lucky. I saw it like a year and a half before I took my family there, so I had seen it. Yes, and it's magical. The place is magical. They're the right kind of company. They cultivate good work and good spirit. They want you to do your best, and they say, "Here's some money. Design a place where you can work at your maximum best."
Is there
That's
another
a wonderful thing?
Is there another company? Let's just say American company. Any across the spectrum that produces as consistently high quality a product. Maybe you could say like Apple, but even Apple like has a couple bummers here and there.
They stumble. Huh.
Go ahead.
I've always said this, I'm not just paying you lip service. I think the Pixar animated scripts are better than most live action movies. The way they'll do it, and like Finding Nemo or something like that, the suspense, they build up the pathos, but also they bring it home. Like there's the twist, Toy Story and stuff like that. I mean, these are crazy, wonderful adventures. Like the writing is spectacular in those scripts.
And to piggyback,
I was going to say, when John Lasseter, and I think it was Andrew Stanton, could have been Pete Docter, wrote Cars, they drove Route 66 cross country.
Yeah.
And figuring out the story. That's what they did. They drove that. So, and they take a year and a half with a script before they ever start animating. They work and they work. Inside Out, they spoke to therapists at universities about it. I mean, but the thing is, what's sort of interesting, now that I know Pete Docter, I hope I'm not talking out of school, but they are, I don't want to say first and foremost, but they are, alongside their creative genius, a business. And they have people that they have to pay. And they have people that they have to keep on the payroll. And sometimes stocks fluctuate. Sometimes income fluctuates. Certainly with the pandemic, did Soul make as much money as they needed it to? So they have worries. And when I hear that, I'm taken aback. I think of Pixar just being printing money, being great. They're human. And it's tough for me to think of them as human. Does that make sense?
Yeah, yeah. It's like you think of Disneyland. It's the same thing. And I was just going to say, when you talk about the scripts, Adam, specifically Inside Out, not just a great story, but can you imagine the pitch meeting? Them saying, okay, this is essentially a movie for kids, and we're going to explain everything about recovered memory, about every feeling you could have in your body and in your brain. You're insane. There's no way a child can grasp this, and yet here we are, and it's literally a teaching tool.
It is. And I'm going to say something, Brian, right?
That's me.
Wait till your daughter turns Ellie's age at 11. Okay. And then wait till your daughter turns 19 and can appreciate what she felt at 11.
Well,
and each generation you know, 23, 26, how she will do that. Then when she has her own child. So that is truly a movie for the ages. And for different ages.
I'm glad you said that, because I was just thinking that separates Pixar from other. I see a lot of movies. I see every animated movie that's up for the Oscar every year. There's a lot of good animated movies out there. They're good, or they're even very good. What separates Pixar from the rest of them is that every once in a while, and more often than not, their movies get elevated but beyond just a great adventure or a great story or whatever. You get your Inside Out, you get your Wall-E, your Toy Story 3. They're like, oh, now it's like a coming-of-age story, or it's a story about growth or realizing something. It's not just a great adventure. So Inside Out is definitely one of those movies.
And that is what great art or great craftsmanship is all about, is I'm presenting you something that is something other than what you're just looking at.
Yeah.
It could be interpreted. That's why I think the Coen brothers are so good.
Yeah.
They present something that's entertaining, and yet still, as you say, it rises above what it is. And that's, I'm lucky every once in a while to do that kind of thing. And then every once in a while, I'm, you know, serving scrambled eggs on toast.
There's a place for that.
But it is.
Did you go to Lasseter's office when you were there?
I did. And the Maya, was it Maya, not Maya Kama, who's the great animator? And it was above his desk.
I don't remember.
No.
But I remember. His office was filled with trains. And and he wasn't there when I went there. But here's a measuring stick. Mayo Miyazaki, is that how you say it?
Well, that. You don't know. That's who I'm saying.
No, it's on.
It's not here, whatever.
You printed it. It's on a screen in front of me. I could have never pulled that out. Here's an interesting an interesting yardstick to measure whether the head guy's nice or not is Lasseter wasn't there when we went to go to his office. But his secretary was like, well, go on in and check out the trains. And if your boss is an asshole, there's nobody going, go on in, because when he comes back and he's missing a caboose, she's going to get fired, right?
You know, it's funny. All at Disney or Pixar, Walt Disney loved trains. John Lasseter loved trains. I don't know whether he loved them because of Walt Disney and he worshipped them, or did he love them. And Pete Docter, who is now running Pixar, loves trains as well.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy?
And most serial killers as well. So there's a lot of diversity.
Yeah, so there you go. Well, well, they say that crying is just the same thing as laughing.
Yeah. Yes. Extreme hot and extreme cold feel the same to the touch. I agree.
Yes.
I love Pixar, but I do want to talk a little Curb as well.
Bad.
It's been a couple of years since last season,
like
right? I think it's been a couple.
No.
Hasn't it?
Because it was, he had that great joke about the MAGA hats.
Right.
So that had to be around the time of Trump.
Oh,
and
yeah.
He's finishing it up now. But you kind of understand, it's a tough, well, this is in my head, because writing the script has got to be so difficult, because he doesn't write dialogue. He has to think of these plot points.
Right.
And they all, and it's a decent sized scenario. It's like 13 to 16 pages that have to be improvised. So he's got it all figured out to the detail of what we're going to see, just not what we're going to hear. Does that make sense?
Right.
The 100th episode.
Then you shoot it. What?
The last episode was the 100th episode. It aired March 22nd of 2020, so right around the same time as lockdown.
Right.
Okay, that's not so long ago. That's a year.
I just missed it.
Filming now.
Well, the COVID lasted 5 years.
Yeah, right. The joke is, what's today's date? March 365.
Right.
Shooting it is a blast, because you're surrounded by all your friends, by people who have to be at their funniest at that time, both the writers, the actors, certainly. So it's great fun. Well, then you got all of this footage, and you got to put it together, you know, for 27 minutes when you have, I don't know, 4 hours, 5 hours of things to choose from. That's really difficult, and it takes a long time. And then so he has to do that. So when will it be out again? I don't know, but a year and a half ain't so bad.
No.
You know, for all of that.
I don't, I'm trying to think where you can binge watch it, because I want
an HBO series.
You just go,
HBO.
I know, you just go to the app or
HBO
something?
Max, yeah.
Okay. And no, you go to Sunny, and Sunny will put it on.
Yeah, I'll have my son sign me up, because I don't have to ask him what my passwords
are. No, it's HBO. You always could do that. You can just do it. Or
just stream it.
I doubt it's on Amazon. I doubt you can pay for it on Amazon. That's like, I did a great, great show. I don't know whether you saw it, called Red Oaks. It was a wonderful show. It's on Amazon. Okay, it was Amazon did it. They knew they had a great show. It got short shrift because Amazon can sell underwear, but they can't sell TV shows.
Right.
But it was real. They make great TV shows. This being one of them, and they knew it was great, and they gave us 3 seasons. But I would say it's an Amazon show, and they go, "Oh, can we see it on Netflix?"
Right.
I want to go. No, it's an Amazon show. So you go to HBO and you'll see all of the, although they were sold. Do you remember that TV Guide channel?
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
This just scrolled endlessly?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They would have Curb. I don't know whether they still do, but of course you go on HBO Max or HBO whatever.
It's right there.
You can get it.
All right.
Yeah,
I'll get my son to sign me up or figure it out.
Okay.
Everything's going to be okay. Can we talk about that for a second?
Sure. Yes.
Tell us about it.
I wish I could talk about it in a lot of detail but I've been told that there are certain things you can't talk about. The second thing is, it was such a weird and quirky show that there's nothing linear that I can say about it. And I was, although I'm in a lot of episodes, I'm not throughout the episode. So it's about kids on the spectrum homosexuality and just different unusual quirky characters in a situation that is at the get-go very unusual, and it's, I'd love to just present it in that one line high concept, and you can't. But I can tell you it's heartwarming, it's unusual, it's a pleasant and nice show to watch in a time when everything is so hard hitting. It's much like Red Oaks. It sounds like it's unexciting, but it is. It's quirky. It's just things happen to people that you don't normally see, unusual things. And I think that it was a show I was very proud to be on.
Well,
I think it represented different types of people, and it was unusual. You know,
it's yeah, I just want to tell people where they can find it, when it's Thursdays, 10 p.m.
I don't even know. Where can they find it?
Well, it's 10 p.m. Eastern. The episodes are available next day on Hulu. I got to see if my Netflix has Hulu.
Oh, yeah, it's Freeform, right.
I can guarantee your Netflix is not really on Hulu.
But it's such a lovely show. And this guy is from Australia, Josh, who created the show and writes it and is in it. And, you know, he lets the director direct, but he has a clear vision. And the guy's like 24, 26 years old. Just a lovely, good guy. He was a stand-up. He wrote a show in Australia that got a lot of play. And then he did this. It's very, very, very good.
Well, again, it's called Everything's Gonna Be Okay on Hulu. So go look that up. Richard, thanks for joining us. This is very interesting for me.
My pleasure. I you guys are great. I listen to you when I'm in L.A. because I don't listen to podcasts in New York. I listen to podcasts when I'm driving.
So that's interesting. Well, next time you're in L.A., come see us in person.
Oh, when there is a time, I would love it. I'd love to, because I've never met you, and I know where you live because I have a friend who lives right near you. And, in fact, I'm near your house right now. Because I just finished playing 9 holes, and when we're finished with this, I'm going to go finish up. So I happen to be somewhat near you, But I would love to see you all and meet you guys, Dean and Brian.
We'd love it.
Please.
It'd be a pleasure.
Richard Kind, yep. Everyone. Thank you very much for joining us.
What Thank a, you, guys.
What a mensch.
What a mensch.
Didn't care for him.
All right. We got news coming. First, I'll tell you about Apartments.com. Apartments.com. Who needs a change of scenery now? Answer, everyone. Apartments.com has the most listings anywhere. Not just apartments, but homes, townhomes, condos, and more. Oh, I wish I needed to rent a place just so I could use Apartments.com. With 3D virtual tours, you can search your special somewhere from anywhere. Stretch your fingers across a keyboard and change your scenery on Apartments.com, the most popular place to find a place. All right, we'll take a quick break. Come back with the news right after this.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gino Grad. Breaking viral. Weird crime, protest, politics. Give me news with Gino Grad. Stuff they saw on TMZ. Joe Biden. Kamala. Big news with Gino Grad.
The news with Gina Grad.
Well, just a little bit of follow-up on the Chauvin trial, as that was, you know, just the biggest deal yesterday as we recorded this. Following Tuesday's conviction of Derek Chauvin for the murder of George Floyd, the ex-Minneapolis cop was led out of the courtroom in handcuffs. He had been free on bail, but it was revoked by the judge, and he was taken into custody right then and there. Chauvin will likely be sentenced in about 8 weeks after being convicted of second-degree murder, third-degree murder, and second-degree manslaughter. Since Chauvin doesn't have a previous criminal record, the New York Times reports that the guidelines for sentencing on each of the murder charges is 12 and a half years, but there's a range of maximum sentences for each of the charges. And Gerges told us a little bit about this. Second-degree murder can get a sentence as long as 40 years. Third-degree murder can get 25 years. And there's a picture going around of Chauvin being led out in handcuffs with his hands behind his back with something written on his hand. And everybody wanted to know what that was. And what that was a smart thinking lawyer. It was the lawyer's phone number who said, look, if you're led out today, if you're led, you know, back into custody, here's my phone number because, you know, you're going to need it and you're not going to have any other way to get it. So he wrote it on his hand.
Interesting.
Savvy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, a songwriter has died that you might, well, you probably know the name of, but you'll definitely know some of his hits. And I should have thought to get some of these ready, but you'll know them. Jim Steinman. You familiar?
He's bad out of hell,
isn't
he?
Yeah, exactly.
He's a Meatloaf guy.
Yes, sir.
Did all those big sweeping whatever.
Exactly.
Never understood Meatloaf.
Never understood Meatloaf either.
No Paradise by the Dashboard Light.
It was all before my time. Yeah. By the time I was of music enjoying age, I'm like, what the fuck is this?
Meatloaf was huge on the East Coast and didn't really get into California like a lot of bands. So there's certain bands like out here. We had like X and Oingo Boingo and stuff like that were like big out here. And then if someone's from the Midwest or something, they haven't heard of them. And I felt the same way about Meatloaf. It didn't make it into our zeitgeist over here in North Hollywood.
My era of MTV and music enjoyment was like the mid early 90s. And that's when Bad Outta Hell 2 came back into hell. And like there was a really lushly produced music video was in that. I would do anything for love, but I won't do that. And like, there was so much nostalgia for Meatloaf. What the fuck is this? Why are we listening to this?
That's why.
Yeah.
So for some reason, Paradise by the Dashboard Light was big on the bar mitzvah reception party circuit.
Really?
I don't know why. So he did. He conceived the songs for Bad Outta Hell, like 2 out of 3 Ain't Bad, Paradise by the Dashboard Light. After initial rejections from several labels, the album went on to sell 40 million copies worldwide. He also wrote the Meatloaf Cher duet, Dead Ringer. Do you know that one?
No. And I know all Cher songs.
He did also write Air Supply's Making Love Out of Nothing at All.
Oh, yeah.
Bonnie Tyler's Total Eclipse of the Heart. And Bonnie Tyler's Holding Out for a Hero.
Fucking A.
Oh, yeah, he will be missed.
Yeah.
I never got the Air Supply song where they're like, even the nights are better. Now that we're, the nights are always
better.
Better when you're Nights are always better. Daytime, you fucking go to work and you eat fucking food out of a vending machine. Yeah, that's what you do during the day.
Yeah.
This is Loaf and Cher.
Yeah. Is this Dead Ringer?
This is Cher Loaf?
Yeah. Cher Loaf. Delicious.
Cher meat.
How old was he?
73.
Hmm.
Now, when you hear a song like this, it will not be hard to understand that he had a cameo in Rocky Horror Picture Show. Remember that?
It's just musical.
Remember that
bullshit,
when he came
right?
up in, yeah. in the motorcycle?
Yeah, this is, Meatloaf.
Yeah.
Yeah, what year did Bat Out of Hell come out, Max Back and Look? But the point is we weren't listening to any of this stuff in my junior high or high school. We kind of went, in the 70s, you can bring it down, Dawson.
For everyone listening and tweeting to me right now, I don't dislike Meatloaf. I never understood Meatloaf. You know what I mean?
Yeah, 1977, so like... When I was in junior high, people were listening to like Yes Led Zeppelin and Aerosmith, and it was all those kinds of bands, Rolling Stones and all that kind of stuff. But Meatloaf never made it. I was like, I don't know, it was too theatrical or something. I don't know what it was, but it never got into us.
Is he a Jersey guy? Where's Meatloaf from?
Feels Jersey.
I'm curious.
Yeah. Well, anyway.
I'm saying Long Island.
Yeah, it feels that way. Well, that was stupid of me to just put in Meatloaf.
Right. Got pictures of Meatloaf.
Where is Meatloaf from?
Jim
Cow.
Will be missed. Now, another death of a musician, but this time it's an anniversary. We've got Prince's anniversary.
Oh.
5 years.
Wow.
His ashes will be on display today as we record this for fans.
Aren't those for spreading?
Some people like an urn, a nice urn. This will be a reservation only at Paisley Park. This is the 5th anniversary of his death. Fans can tour the compound for free with his display of his remains.
First George Floyd, now this.
Guests will be able to leave flowers, mementos, and other memorial items in the front of the love symbol statue outside the main entrance. If we leave now, we can get there.
I don't know. The urn on display is kind of
weird. Right?
It's kind of weird, but all right. I mean, I'm fine with it.
Unless, this is interesting because, you know, when people say like, well, you know, you have your grandmother's urn on your mantle or whatever because you want to be with family. How do we explain the urn that's by itself in your old house alone?
Minus anything in it?
No, I mean, like Prince didn't want to like, you know, have an urn with his, you know, and put it with his sister or whatever. Mm-hmm. It's just... Ashes, did he say, like, just put me back in my house by myself? You know, like, what's the vibe there?
Ashes are for spreading.
Yeah.
I don't know. And it's a museum now?
Well, they're letting people tour it. So, you know, maybe more of a historical landmark right now.
Oh, yeah. Interesting. Weird. My idea of Minnesota has been completely disrupted in the last 10 minutes and then started with Prince. I pictured a bunch of Nordic guys speaking like that, like ice fishing and drinking Ham's beers.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
And they're still somewhere, but they ain't getting any publicity.
Yeah. No, they're not. You know who I pictured? Remember the sitcom, Brian? Never spoke about it with you, but Coach. I was going to say, it had to be your favorite.
For someone who doesn't watch TV, how did you know that?
Because Coach was on reruns at like 4:30 in the afternoon, so I saw a lot of Coach.
We never spoken about Coach, but I pointed at you. Dauber.
Yep.
That's what guys from Minnesota used to look like.
That's right. He's a very nice guy. Friend of a friend. Very nice.
That was funny because Brian and I have never talked about the sitcom Coach. I never talk about the sitcom Coach.
Has it ever come up?
I just pointed at you and I was like, yeah, Dauber.
Yeah, that's Minnesota.
That's Minnesota.
In fact, the only Jewish guy that I ever met at one point from Minnesota, guess what his last name was? From Minnesota, Jewish guy, Lundquist.
There you go.
So even the Jews sound like they're Nordic.
Yeah, I got a little, speaking of, I don't know, the Nordic vibe, I got a sausage etiquette question.
Do ask.
Speaking of. What do you want to know?
So, Olga, by the way, probably why you shouldn't build things up. So the other day I see Olga and she goes, I have a surprise for you. I have a present for you. And I said, okay. And she's like, I don't have it here. I'll bring it tomorrow. And I said, okay. So she shows up the next day and she presents sausage to me.
So far, so good.
And she said she went to Solvang.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
And this
many
is
times.
This
I think
is
she went for birthday.
Sausage from Solvang on her birthday.
That's badass.
And I said, well, thank you very much for thinking of me. And then she chopped it all up, put a bunch of onions and peppers and sauteed it all up with garlic and everything. And then I walked over to the pan and I pricked a piece of sausage size of a, you know, silver dollar. Mm-hmm. And I popped it in my mouth. And it utterly had no flavor. Mm. It was just the texture of sausage.
Really?
It was no flavor whatsoever. I have a theory.
How's that possible?
Well, it was the light veal ones and not the dark kielbasa ones. It's all they had.
Okay.
But it just, I like the dark kielbasa. And this was not that, but it's still flavorless. Just utterly flavorless.
That's crazy.
So,
a chicken sausage has flavor.
Yeah, well,
I believe you.
If it had flavor, it had some, but
not enough.
I think Adam has COVID.
Oh, my
it was
God.
Flavorless.
Taste.
Flavorless. So I looked at Olga, and I said, what is this? And I held up the sausage on the fork. She did my favorite thing, which she went, what's the dish called? Mm. And I said, no, this. What's this? And then she said, it's sausage. I always think when people answer me that way, like, oh, what is this thing called?
No more questions.
I've come here from planet Ork. Like, yes, it's sausage. We discussed the sausage. It's sausage. I'm not asking.
Mystery solved.
Follow-up question.
I go, what kind of sausage? And she said, like, something from Solvang. And I was like, oh, okay. And then I loaded up my plate, but I didn't put much sausage on there because it had no flavor. Yeah. And then I sat down, and I was eating, and I said, Olga was standing in the kitchen, and I said, Olga, try the sausage.
Was it a vegan sausage?
No, it's just some sausage is like, you know, it's just like it doesn't have that. You got to go with the kielbasa, like the red, dark flavor. Anyway, she stood over the pan, and she popped it in her mouth, and she just like looked at me, and she went, it doesn't taste like anything. I was like, perfect, good. Because your worst position is when they go, oh, it's great.
Delicious.
You know. So she just went, it sucks. And I was like, it does. But I did this thing, and everyone always thinks I'm an asshole, where I go, thank you for bringing me this from Solvang.
Yeah, pay for effort.
Don't fucking ever do it again. But no, like, thank you for this. Glad you're thinking about me. But this is bad sausage.
Right.
And because Olga's like, yes, this is horrible sausage. You're welcome.
Yeah, that's perfect.
Like that, so many people get so like, why are you? Blah, blah, and I'm like, I'm just saying.
I do this nice thing for you.
It just don't ever buy this again. Yeah. But thank you very much for thinking of me when you're in Solvang.
It's perfect.
Yeah.
And I to piggyback on that, I have some thoughts about food in Solvang. Because I went to Solvang one year over Christmas. And it was...
For
like,
people outside the area, this is like a Danish town
or
with like
Dutch
windmills.
Dutch.
Yeah, 100%
right. It is like the most magical, wonderful wonderland of wonder.
Chocolate fudge everywhere.
It's the best. There's windmills. It's the best. There's an emu farm. And we were like, oh, let's try the delicacies. And what's an Abelskiver? I'm seeing those everywhere. And you think it's going to be like a beignet. You know, it's like fried dough. And, you think it's going to be amazing. Took one bite, threw it in the trash. So
it's all a little
they're
too
kind of
authentic.
Salty and like a little bland. And I don't think you should go to Solvang for a foodie trip, but I think it's great for everything else.
Yeah.
It's Instagrammy.
Yes.
Yeah. So I have
smorgasbords.
Mostly completely bland food confuses me.
Me too.
I'm like, why did you make this?
Me too.
Why did you create this?
Speaking of sausage and the opposite of bland, you guys ever had merguez sausage?
Not sure.
It's a French lamb sausage. It's usually pretty thin.
No,
God,
Ryan.
It's oily and perfect.
Really?
Yeah. It sounds fancy because it's French, but any, you know, a lot of restaurants will have it.
I love the kielbasa, and I love the kielbasa with the sauerkraut, mm-hmm. and I can't get enough. My grandfather used to make this thing in a big iron pot, which was the kielbasa, had the potatoes, and had the sauerkraut. It was all layered up and baked in the oven. It was so goddamn good. All right, let's do one more, Gina Grant.
All right. Well, I have some good news for you. I know you're worried that you don't know when your precious Fast and Furious is coming out, but I can tell you there's something else to look
forward
to.
Wait, I know when it's coming out. I don't know when Top Gun is coming out. Is that I figured out?
Top Gun later in the year.
And Top Gun is the summer.
It is?
Yeah. Didn't Chris tell us that?
Top Gun got pushed to November.
Yeah, November.
Fast 9, as of now, it's still looking like
the
June 25th.
Right.
Okay,
sorry. I got it written on my hand.
Yeah, right.
right next to Garagus' number.
Well, write this down as well. Put it in your calendar. Vin Diesel is going to be starring in a new live-action feature about a certain classic game, and it will be called the Rock'em Sock'em Robots movie.
They already made that. It's called Real Steel.
No, this is going to be the Rock'em Sock'em Robots from Mattel. This is now, we've done this before. We've seen this with
Battleship
and others, there's more coming.
I'm still utterly confused. I talked to Pete Berg. He told me he was on a boat riding Battleship. I was like, do you have to, when you write The Martian, do you have to leave the atmosphere? Like, or could you just fucking sit home and write? But anyway. Then I saw the movie with like the aliens and stuff. And then I thought, why is this is in no way, shape or form connected to Battleship, which again, I didn't own Battleship, but my buddy Chris had Battleship. Yeah. What I do not understand what that is. It's Brian, you must be dismayed that we're literally looking at toys like Hula Hoop, the movie. You know what I mean? We're just looking at junk.
Buddy, you're asking the wrong guy.
Oh, that's right.
Hold on. Go ahead.
In all seriousness, I've said it before, and I almost live by this mantra now when it comes to movies. In a world where the Lego movie can be outstanding, I'm on board with anything being okay.
I am going to put that to the test.
The Pirates of the Caribbean was outstanding.
Okay, you're Brian, let me tell you what else is on the docket from Mattel.
Okay.
Don't break the ice. Don't spill the beans.
Mousetrap. Hungry
hippos. Okay. Hungry hippos. I'll start with the ones that aren't as terrifying first. American Girl, Barbie, Barney, Hot Wheels, and Thomas and Friends. Now, let me tell you what else is on the docket. Magic 8-Ball. Major Matt Mason. Do you know who that is?
I don't know Major Matt. I know they have in development Christmas Tree Air Freshener, the movie. Pretty sure.
Yeah,
right?
that's
Fuzzy Dice is a franchise.
You know what? You loved Transformers as a kid, then they made the movie, then it was a great first movie. I was in love with Speed Racer as a kid, and they made the fucking movie out of it. And not only was it bad, it was like off-putting.
It was weird.
Yeah. Like the worst thing you can say about a joke is it was confusing.
Right.
Like, I don't know. I'm not sure what they were saying with that. The worst thing you can say about a movie is like, it was off-putting. Like, it felt weird. I need to take a shower after I saw that fucking movie.
Well, let me tell you a few words. First of all, I had to look up Major Matt Mason. It was an astronaut toy from the 60s, and he lived on the moon.
Okay.
There's Major Matt Mason.
Mm-hmm. Hey, come on. How about a new Matt, huh?
Uno, the movie, and Viewmaster.
Okay, listen, I have no interest in any of these inherently. However, The Invisible Man was great. Like, there's a chance exists that these could be okay.
Uno.
Sit and Spin, the movie, is in development.
Yeah,
the problem is, Brian is right. We have no idea. Once the Lego movie's great, then are there bad ideas?
That's right.
You got Phil Lord and Chris Miller involved, and it might be great.
The Craggle. Wasn't it the Craggle?
The Craggle.
The Craggle.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. But still, I feel the same way about bands covering songs that sound almost exactly like the original song.
Yep. Okay.
If you want to be Cat Stevens and do a Calypso version of Sam Cooke, Another Saturday Night, then that's your own thing.
Yeah.
It feels non-creative to pick things from the past and just kind of go, I like No Country for Old Men. Like, I just want movies where somebody comes up with a great scheme.
I'm with you, but let's take the example of the Pirates of the Caribbean. It had nothing to do with the ride. It was a little about pirates, and it was an excellent yeah. movie.
Fine.
So if they can do that.
Yeah. You know,
but it's kind of like what Richard Kind said, like, you know, there's still a business aspect, and who's making the leap of like, this toy sold millions and millions, so of course the movie will sell millions. Like, who's making that leap that this is safe?
Well, this is my Land of the Lost argument, which is like the worst part of everyone's childhood was Land of the Lost, and they made it into a feature.
Yeah, you know, Uno's going to be an action heist comedy film. That's being developed and most likely will star. It's being developed by Lil Yachty, the rapper, and it will probably star him.
Who? Hold on. It's not Lil. It's got to be Lil Dinghy because there's no such thing as a Lil Yachty. Yeah.
Tugboat.
If he doesn't name his son Lil Dinghy, he's fucking leaving money on the table.
It's true.
You know what's coming out this summer, which will put this theory to the test? Jungle Cruise with The Rock.
Oh, Emily
Blunt.
I'll be honest, I'm gonna watch the shit out of that.
But that's different. Like those Disney.
It?
I mean, like you said, like Pirates of the Caribbean. Yeah. Like those are Space Mountain was not great.
There are no more rules. I agree with Brian. There is no more rules. Yeah. You just have to see it.
Yeah. Well, we'll see.
I don't like
Viewmaster when it comes out.
Yes, I don't like the trend of going back and grabbing toys. But each one will be judged on its own merit.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. All right, Gina, we bring it home?
I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news. You got to keep the boys off the pipe and the girls off the pole. Gina
Grad! That was the news with Gina Grad.
Well, last but not least, there's Geico. Do you own, do you rent your home? Well, you do one or the other, and then there is bundling. So you get your homeowners, your renter's insurance, you bundle it up with your automotive policy. And it's a good thing, too, because you already have enough to think about. Geico makes it easy to bundle. And how do you do it? Well, you go to geico.com, you get a quote, you see just how much you could save when you get your bundle moving with Geico. That is geico.com. All right, Appleton, Wisconsin, Skyline Comedy Club coming up May 7th and 8th, doing stand-up there and live podcasts, so both. We're doing Jam in the Van out here, which is really cool. I know Brian walked by there. Gina,
can't wait out.
Check it out.
Yeah.
It's fun.
It's a cool setup.
Cool setup. May 22nd, so you can come out and watch us do that live. And you can see how the tasteless sausage is made. Golden, Colorado, Buffalo Rose, coming up June 18th, 19th. Do some stand-up there and live potting. Oh, and Loxamana is going to be performing there with... his band Loxie. So we got to go to adamcarolla.com for all the live shows. And until next time, it's Adam Carolla for Richard Kind and Gina Grad and Paul Bryan saying mahalo. Beaches ain't shit, but hoes and fricks suck on these balls and leak on these dick.
Follow the Adam Carolla Show on Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Follow us on Twitter at Adam Carolla. You can leave us a voicemail at 888-634-1744. Gina Grad is with Teresa Strasser on the podcast Easy Listening. And you can catch Paul Bryan on the Film Vault. Also, check out the Water Cooler, another great offering from Carolla Digital. For tickets to see the Ace Man, books, movies, and everything else, go to adamcarolla.com.
Hey, movie lovers, who needs a theater when you have Pluto TV? Grab your popcorn and your streaming device because free movies are here. Pluto TV is your home for movies. Great movies are playing anytime in over 20 exclusive movie channels of action, horror, rom-coms, and more. Watch hits like Saving Private Ryan, Pretty in Pink, and Charlie's Angels all for free. No signups, no fees, no contracts. Ever. Download the free Pluto TV app on any device.
Hey, Geico, do you own? Do you rent? Well, you do one or the other, right? You know, it's hard work out there. Owning, renting. You want to save some money? How about you bundle? Bundle your policies at Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle the homeowners or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you got so much to do already. Go to geico.com, get a quote, see just how much you could save at Geico. That is geico.com today. That's geico.com.